to learn today will be about this concept that I think all of us know about. The 36 tzaddikim, the lamed vavnikim. We'll try to understand where it's coming from and if really 36 is a holy number, which we will discover that we're not sure about it. And also we'll see how it's connected to Hanukkah, because you came all that way for Hanukkah, which is like basically like an off Torah. I don't know, there's like no classes, no shiur, no nothing. We said, no, we're going to have it. So we have some kind of a connection to Hanukkah as well. So let's start really from the beginning. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Bet says the following. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Lo pachot alma mitlatin veshita tzadiki demekable api shchina bechol dara. There is not less than 36 tzaddikim who accept the divine presence in every generation. Now, let's stop here for just a second. From the words that there are not less, we can understand that what? That you might have more. So 36 is like the minimum, right? 36 is the minimum, which means, you know, if you didn't make it to the 36 list, you might get a spot, you know, on the second list. You know, what do they have? First tier and second tier? So you might be on the second tier. The second thing is that what we see from here is that they are called, why are they called tzaddikim? I thought that they learned Torah and whatever they do. It says, the mekable api shchina bechol dara. They accept the divine presence. Which means what? Not exactly sure. It always reminds me, we'll obviously delve into it a little bit deeper, but it always reminds me what? Kiddush Levana. What do we say in Kiddush Levana? We are mekablei pnei shchina. That's what we do also in the Chadodi. But what does it mean exactly? We will definitely need to see a little bit later. Now, how do we know that? Now, take a look at this very interesting hochacha, very interesting proof. It says, Shene'emar, Ashrei kol chochei lo, lo begimatria, tlatin veshita havu. So we have a gimatria. How many of you like gimatriot here? Okay, we have one tzaddik here. Very good. Okay. So, you know, gematriot can be nice as a dessert, but not as a main course. I mean, you want to tell me this entire concept comes from what? From a gematria? Okay. And also, the verse itself is also a little strange. Ashrei kol chochei lo, meaning praiseworthy are the ones who awaits for him or anticipates God's revelation. Now, I thought that the Lamed Vav Tzadikim are what? Are already mekablim pnei shchina. So now you're talking about those who anticipate pnei shchina. So, I'm not going to burst all your bubbles. Don't worry. We will get to the 36 tzaddikim. But for now, it's a little questionable. Amy, how can you say that? Ve'ama rava dara dekame kutshabrichu tam nisrei alfe parsa avi. Shenemar saviv 18,000. Says, how can you say only 36? You have 18,000 people around God who are like surrounding him, and he has those people who really believe in him. So 18,000. Lo kasha, the Gemara says. Ademistaklei beaspeklaria meira. Ademistaklei beispeklaria sheina meira. So it says, there are 36 who can really see God clearly, ispaklaria meira, and there are 18,000 others who can see God not so clearly. Now, one of the major issues with this one is what? I thought there was only one who could see God, bispaklaria meira, which was Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo chen avdi Moshe b'chol beiti ne'eman hu, pe'el pe'a daber bo b'mar'e ve'lo b'chidot u'tmunat Hashem yabit. Says the Gemara, beispaklaria amira. I thought there was only one. Now we have 36. And we have other 18,000. I don't know if that's 18,000 minus those 36 or 18,000 who can see God in not exactly a clear way. So the Gemara says, Hum inafish kulei? Now you want to tell me there are 36 who can see God clearly? Ve'amar chizkia amar rabbi Yirmiyah mishum rabbi Shimon ben Yochai ra'iti bnei aliyah ve'en muatin. I saw only few people who really can elevate themselves, and there are only really, really few. Im elefem, if there's, let's say 1,000, b'nivani him. So it's my child, my son, and myself are among them. Im me'ahem, if there are only 100 of them, b'nivani me'hem. My son and I are among them. V'im shnaim hem, and if there are only 2, take a guess, it's my son and I. Loka, so the Gemara says, so you have only 2, not 36. So you see what's happened? We started with 36, we got to 18,000, then we got into some kind of a division, then it was too much, so we got to 2. So what do we do? So the Gemara says, Lokashia, ade aili bebar, ade aili belobar. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, ade aili bebar, שצריכים ליטול רשות כשנכנסים להסתכל בספקלריה המהירה, בהנו לא פחית המתלטין ושיט. אבל אותם הנכנסים בלא רשות ברוב צדקם, הנו מספקלן כמה הוו. Okay, let's do סדר. Let's do some order here. So you have 18,000 people, צדיקים. Did that? Oh, the last question, I will, just in a second. So we have 18,000 people who can see God not in such a clear way. We have 36 among them that can see God clearly. However, from among them, all those 36 needs to get a permission in order to see God clearly. That's what Rashi says. However, from among those 36, you have an elite group that they can go in and out without asking for permission. And who are those two? At least Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and his son. Are you confused enough? Good.
I thought it was two prophets.
So two prophets at what? That what? Oh, that's so...
looked up and saw the throne and saw God,
You're talking about Yechezkel and Yeshaya.
Yeah.
And Moshe saw him, like, whatever that means, clearly. But now we have a proof here that what? You have more than just those three, A. And B, it's in every generation. Now, interestingly, is that, you know, we always think that those 36 are like, you know, hidden tzaddikim. We don't know who they are. We always like to say, no, this guy is probably from the one of the Lamed Vavnikim. Here, Shimon ben Yochai, without any doubt, says what? It's my son and I. It's very humble. You know, what's going on here? What is going on with this concept that we feel that it's like such an unbelievable thing? Now, take a look at the pasuk in Yeshaya, Isaiah. This is the pasuk. This is the verse where the Gemara takes that pasuk and has this gematria. Velachen yichakeh Hashem lechonenchem. Therefore, Hashem will wait to, bestow upon you grace. Velachen yarum lerachamchem. Then he will elevate himself in order to have compassion on you. Ki Elokei mishpat Hashem, because God is the God of justice. Ashrei kol chochelo. Praiseworthy is the person who awaits for him. Now, based on that pasuk, and this is, by the way, also very important, whenever you learn Gemara, the Gemara has a tendency to quote a pasuk by memory, and sometimes they quote the first part of the pasuk and really talk about what? The seifa, the second part of the pasuk. Because they thought that you know it. It's like Chidon HaTanach, you know, the Teimanim from Chidon HaTanach, you say a word and they say the pasuk, that's what they thought. So it's not so accurate. So it's always try, you know, especially if it's not so clear, look at the pasuk. So what's the pasuk teaches us? That God is a God of justice, despite the fact that in reality you see injustice. And it says that God in the end of time, so somewhere in the future, is going to what? To execute his judgment. And therefore, praiseworthy are the people who what? Who await for him. Which means the 36 tzaddikim, or the 18,000, or the 36 minus 34, whatever it is, it's the people who have what? Erech ruach. They have patience, and they have what? The ability to have this anticipation for something that it's unknown, but it's just God's promise. So if I will try to characterize, not in numbers, but in terms of quality, what are the characteristics of these 36 tzaddikim? You will say what? Those who wait for God's day, big day of revelation. Now, I would tell you that I would assume that we have more than 36. I think in this room, I don't know how many we have here, maybe not 36, but close to it. I would say, if I would ask, do you believe that God is going to reveal himself one day, Bezrat Hashem, Bekarov Biyameinu, and will execute his judgment? I'm sure that most of the hands, more than one person that loves Gematria, right? So we'll... Going to happen.
So these 36, it's not that they thought that would happen for them.
Mm. One day, like the song. Yeah. One day. Not necessarily today, but we say it in Shemona Esra every day. Right? We believe that God will etzemach David avdecha merat atzmiach. We say things like that. So, and that's what is so special with those 36. I thought those 36 are doing tzedakah be'ester. They learn Torah all day long. They give tzedakah and chesed. I mean, those are the lamed vav tzaddikim. No. Okay. Take a look at the Maharsha. The Maharsha says, lo begimatriat latin v'shit. So lo, lamed vav, in gimatria numerical is 36. Delefi ha'inyan, milat lo hu meyutar. He says the word lo, it's superfluous. Why? Look at the pasuk. Ashrei kol choche. Lo obviously relates to whom? To Hashem. So I don't need it. Therefore, the Gemara does not just use it as a numerical, oh, it's a nice thing, let's do a gematria, but because it's what? It's superfluous. Dichtiv ki Elokei mishpat Hashem, because it already says, Hashem is the God of judgment. Ashrei kol choche lo, avelei lomar, ashrei kol chochav. Praiseworthy are the people who wait for him without the word lo. The kai kinui de chochav shapira Hashem de lekame lo lamali ulechach darshu ashrei kol chochelo sheem bemispar lamed vav. So the Maharsha does not explain the gematria. He just explains why we would use the word lo lamed vav as a gematria. Why? Because it's really not necessary in the pasuk. Meaning the fact that it's there. It's come to teach you something. Now, you can still ask the question. With all due respect, you're talking about such a concept. You learn it from what? From a superfluous word that now I can use as a gematria? I don't know. For me, קצת חלש. Or I should say it in English, שבח. Abyssal שבח. Right? Abyssal שבח. So, take a look at the Bereshit Rabbah and the Midrash. רבי חזקיה בשם רבי ירמיה אמר כך, אמר רבי שמעון בן יוחאי. Again, you see who is involved? רבי שמעון בן יוחאי. He's coming out of the cave, right? אין העולם יכול לעמוד בפחות מ-30 צדיקים. Now, take a look at the statement. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says what? That Abai says that the world does not have less than 36 tzaddikim who accepts God's divine. The Midrash says what? That the world cannot stand. It reminds you what? Pirkei Avot. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed. Even though that the last Mishnah in Perek Aleph is al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam. Okay, we'll need to understand what does it mean omed and kayam, but not for now. But al shlosha dvarim ha'olam omed. So the world cannot stand less than 30 people, 30 tzaddikim. We said 36, now it's only 30. Now, what's the proof? Oh, הרבה יותר טוב מגימטריה, better than a gimatria, כי אברהם אבינו. It latin inun, כי אברהם אבינו. First, we'll need to get how we get to אברהם אבינו in a minute. It latin inun, then now that's רב שמעון בן יוחאי says, if there are really 30, אנא עוברי תרי מנהון. If there are 30 tzaddikim, my son and I, Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, we are among those 30. Im 20 inun, if there are 20, check a guess, it's my son and I are one of them, two of them. V'im 10 inun, ana uvrim inun. V'im 5 inun, ana uvrim inun. V'im 3 inun, ana uvrim inun. V'im chadu, now you need to pick. If there is only one, it's you or your son. Ana, me, not my son. Very. So what is going on here, really? Leave the fact that now we have a discrepancy between 36 and 30. And we also have a discrepancy in terms of what? Of the goal or the purpose of those tzaddikim. And in addition, we don't know what kind of tzaddikim are we talking about. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about what tzaddikim shemekablei pnei shechina, that they accept the divine presence. This one is, I don't know what it is. And then Rav Shimon ben Yochai testify on himself, with all humility, he is the one. There is only one, he is the one. Even though, by the way, which is very strange, because he says that the world cannot stand without having what? 30. So how can you even have a reality of what? Of one, or two, or three, or five. You need to have at least 30. Okay. So then the Midrash in Bereshit Rabba in Vayera, that's the second source from the end of page one, says the following. How do we get the 30 for Avram? So it says like that. V'ulai matzun shan arbaim. You know, when there was the negotiation between Avram and God, with Sdom and Amorah, it says 50, 40. So how did he get to 40? Kedei shiagi ha-shmona lechol ir va'ir, keneged otam shmona shenitzolu bedor ha-madbul. You know, Sdom and Amorah probably had five regions. And he says, and if every region you will have at least eight tzaddikim, they can save the region. How did he get the eight? Noach, three sons, it's four. Each son had a wife, that makes seven. And Noach's wife, obviously, it's eight. So we have eight people who were able to save the world. So eight people can save the region. That's how Avram's thinking was. Ulai matzun sham shloshim, keneged shloshim atzadikim sha'olam omed aleim. Where is that coming from? Stam. The what? No, 40 was Sdom. Now, how do you get to 30? And this 30 tzaddikim? No idea. It just came along. Okay. Now, everything you said, everything we said, just put it on the back burner because we're going to have a totally different concept of how many people we need. The Gemara in Chulin says the following. Tzror ha-kesef lakach biyado. Chomer seorim veletech seorim. So he took in his hands, the packet of money, or a wallet with money. Chomer seorim veletech seorim. So a measure of barley and a measure of a barley. So chomer seorim would be, I don't know, how would you translate it? Whatever, he took with him money and barley with him. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says the following. Elu memhei tzadikim she'aolam mitkayem bahem. These are the 45 tzadikim that the world continue to what? To exist with them. Ve'eini yodea im 30 kan v'tetvav be'eretz Yisrael v'im 30 be'eretz Yisrael v'tetvav kan. And I'm not sure if the 45 is divided by 30 here in Bavel and 15 in Israel, or vice versa. Kesheu omer, ve'ekha 30 kesef, ve'ashlich oto beit Hashem el ha-yotzer, that I took 30 coins and I threw them into the fire, heve omer, 30 be'eretz Yisrael, because it's beit Hashem, so 30 in Israel, ve'chameshesre kan and 15 in Bavel. Amar Abaye, Verubayu, and most of them, Abaye now talks about what? Bavel, because Abaye lived in Bavel. Mishtakhi beveiknishta de tutei apta. And most of those 15, you can find them where? In the shul. In that specific shul. Vehainu dichtiv, omar alehem im tov beinechem havu schari, v'im lo chidlu v'ishkelu et schari 30 kesef. Rabbi Yuda omer, elu 30 tzadikei umot haolam. שאומות העולם מתקיימים עליהם. Okay. So first we begin with what? With 45 people that you need to sustain the world. Now this 45 needs to be divided between Israel and the Babylon. And you don't know how many in each. Okay. So we have an assumption that 15 in Babel, 30 in Eretz Israel, even though we are not exactly sure. And then we have another opinion. And the other opinion says what? No, what are you talking about? We don't need 30 for the Jews. We need it for what? For Umot HaOlam, the non-Jews. They also need tzaddikim. So they have 30 tzaddikim, tzaddikei Umot HaOlam, and those nations really rely on these 30 tzaddikim. So how many tzaddikim do we need to have for to sustain the world? Not clear at all. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, it was very clear for him, but for us, it's not. Okay. So turn the page, please. So, Let's take a look at the Maharsha. Second source on page 2. Betetvav, zetetvav benisan. Kesef elu tzadikim. Money means righteous people. Tetvav, the 15th that we were talking about, it's 15th of Nisan. Okay. Yesh le'ayen. He says we need to really try to delve into this subject in a real deep manner. De'batchila kra'an kesef shelo b'minyan ve'achar kach kra'an se'orim u'v'minyan memhei. He says if you look at the pasuk that the Talmud tried to analyze, it says what? It says at the beginning, tzror ha'kesef. What is tzror ha'kesef? A what? A money that is tied up in like a bag, and there is no quantity. We don't know how many. And then we say, how many coins? 45. So you start without counting, and then you continue on with counting. She says, why is it? Ve'u mevo'ar. Says, it's simple. בזמן שישראל בכלל עושים רצונו של מקום, נקראים כסף. When the Jewish people fulfill God's will, they are called כסף. Why? So here, this is the Hebrew. Really, Hebrew is a beautiful language when you know it. נחשוף, נחשפתי. What is כיסופים? Anticipation of love. Right? Like Lavan, when he says to Yaakov, why did you escape? And Yaakov says, what? Ki nichsof nichsafti. Sorry, Lavan says, ki im nichsof nichsafta levet avicha, lama ganafta et Elohai. If you have this love and anticipation to go back to your home, bevakasha, but why did you steal my God? So that's the word kesef. And also, on a little bit of a more negative connotation is, kesef is something that everyone nichsaf elav. Everyone wants. That's why it's called kesef. Okay? So when the Jewish people perform God's will, they called kesef. Vebehepech, and if they are not fulfilling God's will, nikraim sig. Sig is like the leftover of barley and things like that. Kmo sheketuv, va'etzrof kabor sigaich. Vesigim hishbata kol rishei. ועל דבר זה אמר הכתוב כסף נבחר, a chosen money, לשון צדיק. It's the language of a צדיק, because a צדיק is compared to what to? You with me? כסף. ולב רשעים כמעט, רצה לומר, לשון צדיק, a language of a צדיק, הוא ככסף נבחר שאין בו סיג. It's like a pure silver without any remnants or what?
Alloy.
Alloy. Okay, wow. That's my new language. That's my new word for today. Thank you. אבל הרשעים אין ליבם ופיהם שווה. The רשעים, the wicked people, there is no synchrony or whatever you call it. Like there is no sync between their heart and their mouth. ואין ליבם ופיהם שווה וכמעט כסף יש בו רובו סיג. וזה שאמר הכתוב, יוציא אתכם מכור הברזל. כי בגלות מצרים היה הקדוש ברוך הוא מצרפן ככסף, שנצרף בכור הברזל. Because what's happened was, that the Jewish people had to go through what I would call purification. And that purification was not only for their deeds, but also for the way they speak. Because the Rasha speaks. There is a seed of truth, but it's surrounded with what? With alloy. With remnants, with all those things that need to be purified. So you need to have kesef nivchar leshon tzadik. A chosen silver, meaning purified silver, is the language of a tzadik. Why? Because what you hear from him, it's what it's inside. Ad shehayu biyom ha-geula, until they reach the day of redemption, shehu tetvav benisan. You know why the Maharsha says that yom ha-geula is tetvav benisan? Because it's not yutet kislev. Come on, you should be quicker than I. There is two Yomei HaGeulah. There is Yom HaGeulah for the entire Jewish people. That's the Tvav Benisan. There is also just the Yom HaGeulah for one of the rabbis of Chabad. ככסף הזה על ידי מצוות מילה ופסח. By ברית מילה, which is not only the עורלת העבר, but it's also עורלת הפה ועורלת הלב, ופסח, וזהו בזמן הגאולה. So that's in the time of redemption. אבל כשישראל בגלות, but when the Jewish people are in exile, הצדיקים שבהם נדמו לסעורים. But when the Jewish people are in exile, the tzaddikim are not כסף נבחר. They are what? They are like barley. כמו שיסד הפית, זרועים כסעורים. They are planted all over like barley. ועל פי מה שכתב בפרק האישה, אמר רבי יוחנן, לא הגלה הקדוש ברוך הוא את ישראל לבין העובדי כוכבים, אלא כדי שיתווספו להם גרים שנאמר, וזרעתי עלי בארץ כלום, זורע אדם שאה, אלא להכניס ממנה כמה קורים. וכן מצינו בצדיקים שנמשלו לסעורים, כמו שכתוב בפרק חלק, והיה מת שש סעורים, רמז לבב צדיקים שיצאו ממנה, I will translate in a minute, דוד, חנניה, מישאל ועזריה ודניאל ומשיח. So he says that in exile, the tzaddikim are like barley. But what's the idea of barley? They are being planted. And why do you plant something? In order to get more than you plant. You know what? I'll take a minute. Not a minute. It will be probably a little bit more than a minute. There is a question of what's the idea of galut? Why the Jewish people are in exile? So you have a variety of answers, from punishment to purification, from schut to isur, whatever it is. But one of the ideas is that the Jewish people went to exile in order to influence the other nations. The what? To be all lagoin, to be a light unto the nations, and also even to attract gerim. Now, this is obviously not an easy thing, and it's not fair just to give it a minute, but there is an idea like that. Now, one of the problems with that was that many of the non-Jews persecuted us so harshly that the Jewish people did not have a chance to be all lagoin. They barely were able to be all atzmam. Okay, so al achat kama v'chama even more so to be all lagoim. But, okay, let's move forward. It says what? That one of the ideas that the Marsha wants to bring is that in the time of the galut, we are like seorim. By the way, not chitim. Chitim, wheat is much better than barley. But barley is the second in command after wheat. And in a way, it in order to bring more people into the fold. בכתוב הזה בגאולת מצרים בתדווה בניסן קראן כסף, שאז היו כל ישראל ככסף. So when the Jewish people are redeemed in the תדווה בניסן, they are called what? כסף. When they are still in גלות, קראן, סעורים. דהיינו, ממהי צדיקים שהעולם מתקיים בגלותן בבבל ובארץ ישראל, כמו שכתוב שחלקן עם 30 כאן ו-15 בארץ ישראל. So he says that in the time of exile, we are like Seorim, and we have 45 of them. And the machloket is, the dispute is that 30 in Israel and 15 in Babel, or vice versa. Veba katuv ve'echria. And the pasuk comes along, and what? And determines it. Dichtiv ve'ekha 30 kesev ve'ashlichehu bet Hashem, ve'ayinu 30 tzadikim be'eretz Yisrael. You have 30 tzadikim where in Beit Hashem, in the house of Hashem, which is Eretz Yisrael. כמו שכתוב, אם טוב ביניכם, הבו לי שכרי. ואף על גב דלאל, גבי כסף קראן שלא במניין, וגבי מניין ממהי קראן סעורים, על שם הגלות, כמו שכתבנו לאל. החד אלוהי ריאלה באותן 30 שבארץ ישראל, שלא גלו קראן שפיר כסף. So the Maharsha does not explain anything about Islam at Vav Tzadikim, he just explained to us one thing, which is important for me. I will pay less attention to when they call tzaddik, when they call kesef, when they call seorim. What I care from this marsha is what? The definition of a tzaddik. What's the definition of a tzaddik? That was before. According to the marsha, what is the definition of a tzaddik? Kesef nivchar לשון צדיק, which means what? A צדיק is someone who what? Who shines, okay, but why? Pure. There is some kind of what? Of a full reflection from his heart to his mouth. Basically is what? Reminds us what? Neki chapayim uva levav asher lo isa lashav nafshi velo nishba lemirma. Which means someone who is so pure. Now, the only difference between a tzaddik in Geula and tzaddik in Galut is what? That because of the Galut, so he also needs what? To be diminished a bit. But that's it. A. B. What is the other additional midah of a tzaddik? That he can attract other people, including whom? Goyim, non-Jews. Now, that's interesting. Because this is different than what we saw before. We talked about anticipating God's revelation. We were talking about Ha'olam Omed. So now we are talking what? About different characteristics. Let's... Okay. So Rabbi Radinsky mentions the idea, the... There are some opinions that we are not after Geirim. We are definitely are not a missionary religion. Not only that, we are giving them such a difficult time. I'm not talking only about 2018. Even before that, we didn't give them, you know, easy time. And we tell them, why do you want to be a Jew? Be a good non-Jew and you will have heaven. It's nothing wrong with that. You can be okay. Yes, it's true. But we see also that it depends on the tkufot. On the periods of time in Jewish history. We know, for example, in the time of David and Shlomo, they didn't want to have Gerim. Why? Because they did it only because the Jews had it all. You know, you see the description in Tanakh of the time of David and Shlomo, Kesef ve'azav lo nechshavu. Money was nothing. They were so wealthy, everyone wanted to be a Jew. That sounds very anti-Semitic. when I think about it... Just imagine if a non-Jew will say it. It's me. It's okay. I'm a rabbi. It's fine, right? But no, really, it was such a... But there were other times that you have people who converted into Judaism and they did it with a tremendous risk. Some of them were executed. Some of them were, you know, were thrown into the fire. But the idea is the truth. Sometimes we... And also we have different views on Gerim. Some says, Kashim Yisrael, Gerim Yisrael kesapachat. You know, Gerim are not good for the Jewish people. And some people say, no, it's a great thing. So... What do you do? I don't know. It depends. By the way, from the fact that in the Torah we have, I think, 50 times, at least 50 times, if I'm not mistaken, the idea of ve'ahavtem et ager, that you shall love the ger, it means what? That naturally, you don't. And it's not only a Jewish thing or a non-Jewish thing. It's we have problems with strangers. You call them in 2018 immigrants, or you call them whatever you call them, everyone is not exactly like me or from my little club and clique, there is a problem. And the fact that the Torah would say, ve'aftem et ager, it's an amazing thing. It's really an amazing thing because of what? Because in any other culture, you don't have it. You don't. So, now, to tell you that it was always implemented, no. You want a proof? Root. Ruth is called until the end. Na'ara amoavia aba'a mizdeh moav. Mizot na'ara amoavia. Mizot na'ara amoavia, na'ara amoavia. Only at the end. Utei. Vetei shtecha ke Rachel ve'lea asher banu shtehen et bet Israel. I think it's a perek dalet, I think, pasuk yudalef, whatever it is. I think yudalef. Which is what? Which now Ruth, even though not mentioned by name, she's compared to whom? To Rachel and Leah. And then she disappears. Okay, that's a different story. We'll talk about Ruth one day. But the idea that we have this concept of Ve'aftem et ager talks a lot about this natural feeling. And I just saw Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch. I just saw it last night. Talks about the idea of Zichron Yetziat Mitzrayim. He says that the idea for the Jewish people to go to Mitzrayim and to be gerim, not gerim with a religious connotation, but gerim in terms of the stage of being foreigners, it was for us to create that sensitivity for other gerim. Not necessarily, again, religious gerim, but other minorities, which is an amazing thing. Now, you will ask me, 400 years? throwing the baby boys for that, you know, to the river and all these afflictions. So we will develop a sensitivity. I'm talking about the idea. I'm not talking about the cost. Okay. Now, אלו 30 צדיקים ומות העולם, says the Maharsha, יש לדקדק. We need to be very meticulous in it. לכאורה, seemingly, the high קרא הוא ראש הדעניין המקרא דהביא לאל וקחה 30 כסף והשליחהו, ומשמע דדרש הוא בצדיקי ישראל, ואחר דרש high קרא בצדיקי ומות העולם. Says, I don't understand. Rav Yehuda takes the same pasuk that we talked about what? Tzadikim from among the Jewish people, and he takes it and learns from it what? About the tzadikim of umot ha'olam. So how can you take this pasuk and change it? Says the Maharsha, v'dochaku lomar de pligi. And says, I'm not comfortable saying that they just dispute how you interpret the verse. V'yesh lomar, de mashma lehu, de anu tzadiki, v'yishkelu et tzchari, 30 כסף ודאי דצדיק אומות העולם כאמר, דלא כתיב בו השליחהו בית השם, אבל בקרא דקחה 30 כסף מפורש והשליחהו בית השם, דמיירי בצדיקי ישראל. So he says he is really taking what? A different פסוק. Where it says, והשליחהו בית השם, that I threw this money in the house of God, that talks about the צדיקים of ישראל. When it doesn't, it talks about the צדיקים of אומות העולם. But still, we are all confused. Not less than 36, 30 is enough, 45, 18,000. Nu, le'an ana nelech. Wow, what are we doing? So I'm going to give you here something which, you know, will burst the bubble. But that's okay, because I think we can learn a lot from it. So first, in little introduction. Gershon Shulem was a great scholar of Jewish mysticism. In a short essay published in the German article in 1962 and in English in 1971 under the title of The Tradition of the 36 Hidden Just Men. In this essay, Shulem speculates that the number 36 originate in ancient astrology, where the 360 degrees of the heavenly circle are divided into 36 units of 10, the so-called deans. And Shulem continued, a deen divinity ruled over each segment of thus divided circle of the zodiac. Zodiac, holding sway over 10 days of the year. In Egyptian Hellenistic sources, the deans were regarded also as watchmen and custodians of the universe, and it is quite conceivable that in Hellenistic astrology, the number 36, which Abaye read into scripture, no longer represented these cosmological powers of forces, but rather human figures. Now, before, you know what, let's continue and then we'll analyze. Abaye, in other words, either on his own initiative or else on the basis of an older rabbinic tradition, was Judaizing a pagan concept by, converting a pagan concept by turning its 36 personified astrological powers that determined the world's fate into 36 righteous Jews on which the world's fate depended. In their Talmudic versions, Shulem observes these Jews were conceived of as leading rabbis, not as a hidden saints, and they were to become in later Jewish legend. The subsequent feature, he speculates, may have occurred under the influence of medieval Islamic mysticism, in which there is a belief that there are in the world 40, alternatively to 4,000 saints, who live unrecognized by their fellow men while contributing to the continued maintenance of the world through their good deeds. Yet since the figure of the hidden Lamed Vavnik is not found in the folklore of Jewish living in Islamic lands, and the first appears in late medieval times in Eastern Europe, it is also possible, in Shulem's opinion, that it reflects an independent Jewish development. Now you already see the connection to Hanukkah, but before we even see the Sfat Emet. Okay, but let's just take a break for just a second so I can get a sip. And now let's talk a little bit about what we read here. On one hand, first, kol hakavod to you. No one here jumped on me, no one stoned me, no one threw a chair on me, so thank you very much. So that's good. B, I think that if I would just bring that at the beginning of the class, that's why I do put some thoughts, you know, when I do the Maareh Mekomot for you. If I would put this Maareh Mekomot, this source at the beginning, you will jump on me. Say, what are you talking about? You know, the long... What did I do? I did what the Yetzer Hara tried to do. First, to create a doubt. Before the class, when I said the 36 tzaddikim, the 36 tzaddikim, the lamed vavnikim, immediately you all had in mind me, myself, and I, right? And some other people that you know, right? Ani v'bni. And if it will go really to one, you will probably say one of the people that you think is a lamed vavnik. Then we start really bringing the question of where is the source for it? And we saw a source in Gematria, and then it went to 18,000, and then it went to 45, and then 30 here, and 15 there, and maybe one. So you immediately saw that this idea of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim is something that does not really have a substantial proof or source, which is okay. It's not one of the Taryag Mitzvot to believe that there is Lamed Vav Tzadikim and not one of Ikarei Emuna Shel Rambam. Okay? But it is a Jewish tradition. Where is that Jewish tradition came from? You have possibilities. You have a possibility that this is a hidden Jewish tradition that we don't know where it is from. You know, Matzati Megilat Starim. Maybe there is a hidden cloth somewhere that we will Bezrat Hashem find, and it's there. By the way, even if you're going to find it, we're obviously going to ask the question of where is the source for this one? Yeah, Anachron of Sikh. We're not going to stop. Okay, but the same. But the idea that it might be influenced by other cultures obviously needs to be investigated seriously. Why? You know what is interesting? What are the biblical numbers?
Seven
for sure.
Ten.
50. 8. What else? 49. 40.
36.
Not yet. Okay, what else? 18? Hi, it's a Jewish Federation invention. I'm joking. I don't know where it is. It comes from other places. But 18 is not a biblical number. And obviously, if 18 is not a biblical number, 36 is not a biblical number.
Nine is not either.
The what?
Nine is not either.
Nine? No? Yeah. That, by the way, it's 19. If you take the Birkat Aminim. Okay? So even that, they couldn't get it right. Okay? What else? We have later on. Now, later on in rabbinic tradition, what are the numbers? 60. Batel b'shishim. Elef. 1,000. Afilu be'elef lo batil. Okay? And 613, even that, by the way, it's an interesting thing. Where is that coming from? You know what? Bli Neder, maybe I'll make a class on it. Where is that coming from, the 613? Give me homework. That's not good. Where is that 18, 36, you know, all of that? So, we immediately can realize that this 36 might come as an influence of other cultures. Which, by the way, it's nothing wrong with that if there is no any negative consequences that comes out of it. Now, let's take the first idea. 365 days. But they rounded it to 360. If you divide it to 36, you get 10 days. And every din is in charge on 10 days. Now, Greek Hellenistic way of thinking was to obviously put everything what? On heaven. There are gods who determines everything for us. Everything is predetermined. And therefore, that's the Greek understanding. How Greek tragedy is what? Is whatever you're going to do, you're going to end up the way exactly we predicted. And you are done. So now, Jews live in such culture. And they come to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, what do you have to say about it? And Judaism believe in what? In the ability of Lashuv B'tshuva, to repent. In the ability that you can take charge on your own life. And there is nothing that it's what? Predetermined. You can change it to whatever extent. Therefore, what do? Brilliant. They take these heavenly astrological deans and they say what? there are 36 hidden tzaddikim that sustain this world. And you know what? They don't have a name. You know why? Because it might be you. Look what Judaism do with such an incredible concept. They basically put the onus on us and say, you want to be one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, you care about this universe, do something about it and carry on the world. So the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim, I'm not sure if there are 36, 360, 500, 5,000 or maybe one. That's not the issue. The issue is that one of them should be you. That's the message of the Lamed Vav Tzaddikim. Which is really, when you think about it, it's brilliant from the Jewish perspective. Therefore, by the way, I don't care if it's 36, 30, 40, 50, because you know what? Probably each rabbi was what? Was influenced by a different tradition, but the common thread is what? You can do it. Yes? Oh, perfect. That's why I think Abaye tried to bring it from a Gematria. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai brought it from Avram Avinu. None of those proofs will be accepted in a real Talmudic discussion. But because we convert it, and now it's mystical, and now it's a little vague, what do? I try to bring some traditional sources in order to substantiate it. Exactly. But if you're asking me, what was first, the chicken or the egg? I will say, you choose. I don't know, what's the chicken, what's the egg? The idea is that let's first, we also have 36. Gam lanu yesh lamed vavnikim. But it's different than yours. And oh, we also have a proof. It's also Jewish, somewhat Jewish. Where is that somewhat Jewish? Oh, we have a gematria. Oh, we have Avram Avinu. So that was the idea, exactly. Because I think you don't see it. The 36, obviously you didn't see before Abaye. Abaye is, Rabbi Radinsky, you're going to correct me if I'm wrong here. 4th or 5th century Amora, right? 4th or 5th century Amora. You are talking about what? It's not Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, is 2nd century, is a Tana. He's talking about the 30. And he learns it from Avram Avinu. Okay, there is something there. The 36, which is so not a Jewish number yet, Abaye states it. He says basically first he brings it, there is a 36 tzaddikim, not less than 36 tzaddikim. And by the way, ignoring Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, which is weird. Why would you ignore Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai? A, he's a Tana. B, he knows a little bit about mysticism, right? Why would you go with 36? There are proofs, by the way, for Abaye. Abaye and Rava had to deal with tremendous influence by the, I think it was the Persian already, right?
Sorry, no, it's
the Babylonians.
They're the ones who invented 360.
Right, exactly. So obviously they had to want to respond. Look, Jews are like in the 2018, nothing changed with Jews. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but the idea, at least we are consistent. The idea is that they came to the rabbi and they said, look, I went to the marketplace and my good friend, I don't know, whatever the names of the Babylonians will be, okay, told me about this idea. It is so cool, rabbi. What do we have to say about it? And the rabbi says, wow, it's really cool. I'll get back with you tomorrow. And then Abai says, oh, we also have it. But you need to tell your friend in the marketplace that we have it differently, because we're always different, which is good, which is great. Because by being different, we invent something else. So I think I hope it answers your question. Yes?
So I had a lot of time to think since the last best you gave me about the 36. I mentioned then, I'll mention again real quickly about the 36 hours of supernal light that Adam Rishon got to experience.
The one what?
The supernal light from the 12 hours of Friday plus the 24 hours of Shabbat until it was, we're on the news, the 36 hours. Hidden for the future, because it's a beacon in the future. That means since then I discovered also, you know, when we talk about the majority of the Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin 71, you need 36 to make it a psak. If there's a, you know, a hafriyah, you have a majority. Also, there are over 16 sectos, but there's only 36 Gemaras in Babli, which is maybe also came to the idea of the news. And of course, we have 36 lights.
You will get it to this Fatemet. Now, why am I not even responding? Because all those examples are great. But you know what? They come later. And none of them are biblical. Which means when I look at biblical number and this concept, and I have nothing wrong. I think we go back to the same discussion. There is nothing wrong. And we have Minhagim, by the way. There is a very good book. Bar Ilan put it out many years ago. Minhagei Ashkenaz. I think it's called Minhagei Ashkenaz. It's like a red book. And it talks about, I think, 10 to 12 Minhagim, Ashkenazim, that were fully influenced by Christian Minhagim in the neighborhood. And then Minhagim of Christians in that medieval time that were influenced by Jewish Minhagim. When you live with a different culture, you are going to be influenced and you are going to influence. That's it. And Manasot, that's what it is. Yes?
I think when you said it fluently, to me, it's just, you know, it's not a case of like taking something to church. Take a something that you may not have thought of, came from a source as a new source, but to turn it,
right,
to make it a beautiful Jewish source.
Yeah.
I mean, this is almost a source for tikkun olam, the way you, right? I take responsibility. I have to be.
Right.
It's beautiful. It's brilliant.
Yep.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So now let's see just the last source of Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet says the following. Hanukkah Kurim Benesiim Zot Hanukkah Mizbeach. So the Torah reading on Hanukkah, during Hanukkah, is that we learn about the presidents of the tribes, that which each one of them will bring what? The Korban, and obviously there are 12 tribes. So Ki Ashvatim Vanesiim Imshichu HaKdusha Lechol HaDorot Ulechol HaMekomot. Because those presidents of those tribes brought kedusha, holiness, to all the generations and to all the places. Umeachar shektiv zot chanukah, because it says this is the chanukat hamizbeach, mash mashu nishar leolam. So it stays forever. Because it says zot, meaning, what's the idea? When you say ze, you can point a finger. Ze keili ve'anveu, when they cross the sea. This is the God that I see and I will beautify, which means it's there forever. Ve'kaf ke'arot kesef, Yud bet, mizrakei kesef. Yud bet, kapot yud bet, hem lamed vav kelim. So you have kearot kesef 12, mizrakei kesef 12, kapot. So you have bowls, mizrakim, I don't know what is exactly mizrakim. It's like, I guess like, what would you translate mizrakei kesef?
Sprinkles,
I don't know. Vekapot and spoons 12, so together is? 36 vessels. Ah! ובוודאי הם כלים שכל העולם עומד עליהם. Those vessels, כערות, מזרקים, and כפות, those are the vessels that the entire world stands on. וכמו שמצינו, like what we found, למדבב צדיקים שהעולם עומד עליהם, כדאית בגמרה בפסוק, אשרי כל חוכה לו. Like we found, those 36 צדיקים that the world stands on. Sorry. But the Talmud says how many? 30, the Midrash says, not 36. It's here, but it's okay. You see how things change? Who cares now about the source? We established now 36 tzaddikim, and that's it. There is no 30, there is no 45. If you will ask anyone, any one of your friends, how many tzaddikim are in the world? How many? Everyone will tell you what? 36. You're going to look so smart when you will say no. It can be 30, it can be 45, it can be 18,000. It depends if you can see God directly or not. You look so smart. But it's really, that's what it is. So it says, וכמו כן, למד וו נרות שבחנוכה. Without the שמשים, okay? ונראה שהם הששת ימי המעשה. It's also the 6 days of creation of the universe. ו-30 ימי חודש. Now, sometimes you don't have 30 ימי חודש. You have only 29, but who cares? We already have a goal. We have 36. כי כל אלה הדברים אינם במקרה. ברוך השם. אהרון, you got it. אינם במקרה. והקדוש ברוך הוא סידר עולמו להיות כל שבוע סדר מיוחד. כל יום ויום ההנהגה באופן אחר. You see? That sounds a little Hellenistic. But you relate it to whom? To Hashem. Hashem ordered every week not 10 days, and every day in a very specific structure. וכמו כן כל יום ויום מן החודש הנהגה מיוחדת על פי הילוך צבא השמיים חלבה, חמה ולבנה וכוכביהם ולכל זה יש שורשים עליונים מאוד. Every month, every week, every day has a specific הנהגה, a specific providence and leadership that God instilled in every day. By the way, if you want to see it in mysticism, take a look at the Bnei Sakhar. Every month, he opens up the month what? With the name of God that שולט בחודש. That control the month, and also he talks to you about what kind of an organ in the body it corresponds to, which obviously based on mysticism that everything is somewhat like a body part. והשבטים הם הכינו ותקנו כל אלה המדרגות, and this, the tribes establish all these levels of spirituality, כדכתיב כל אלה שבטי ישראל, אלה גימטריה למד וף. והנה, השבת הוא למעלה מהנהגת ימי המעשה. שבת is more elevated than all the other six days of creation. כמו כן, יוסף הצדיק, נזיר רחב. יוסף was more elevated than his brothers. He was נזיר, a Nazirite. ויהודה הוא בחינת ראש חודש. And יהודה is like ראש חודש. Why? Comes and goes. That's the kingdom of, Jewish, of the Jewish people. Also, it's a reflection from the sun. Meaning it does not have its own strength, but it's a reflection from God. ומכל מקום ובכלל 30 ימי חודש, but it's still included in the 30 days of the month, כי חודש נקרא גם כן יום המעשה. והעניין הוא כי יש נשיא מלגב, מלבר ומלגב, וביהודה כתיב יהודה גבר באחיו, היינו תוך אחיו, וזה עניין מלכות בשר ודם דלת למיגר מכלום, והוא בכלל כללות ישראל. יהודה is part of the month, why? Because the power of יהודה comes from the nation. ויוסף הוא למעלה מזה. וימי חנוכה אלו מהירים לכל השנה לימי השבוע ולימי החודש. But Yosef is above it, and Chanukah always falls when? In the parashot of Miketz Vayeshev Miketz Vayigash, which is the parashot of Yosef. Why? Because he is Nezir Rechav, he is the eighth. Which eighth is, according to the Maharal, a supernatural number, it's above and beyond everything else, like the Brit Milah, and that's Chanukah corresponds to Yosef. Okay. The what?
Eight
days of Chanukah. Yosef is not included in the 30. In the 30 days. He's above. He's Nezir Rechav. He's secluded. Now, so now let's take everything together and let's make sense of it, okay? 36 tzaddikim. Yes, whatever. Why not? I would say why not. I would not say definitely. I would say why not. Really, if you understand the idea behind it, you don't really care about the numbers. You don't really care about how many of them, 30, 36, 18,000. More is the merrier. More people understand that they are the ones that the world stands on them. Our world will become much better. This is the idea. And you can see, and that's why I brought the Sfat Emet, not only because I like his interpretation, but it's also you see how he ignored. He knew the Bereshit Rabbah. You don't find it only in Bar Ilan CD, okay? And he knew the Gemara in Chulin. He totally ignored and he put it in one big source, 36. And because he developed this 36, he brought other things, the Nerot, Chanukah, the Nesim, and everything. Now, on one hand, you can look at all of that and you say, Rabbi, don't you have other things to do during your day, you know, and do something more productive? On the other hand, I think it's beautiful. I'm not saying that you need to like it. But I think the idea of other, after we established it, to try to find it in other places and to create those connections. It's not just a Hasidic word, but it's to find this responsibility in everything we do. If you want, the Sfat Emet did not say it, but I will just expand on it and we'll conclude. There's something very interesting. What is Chanukah all about? Chanukah has the idea of what? Or first and foremost, talking to you. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. You kindle the candle, gamarnu. You are done. That's it. So why do you need the 30 minutes, you know, the amount of oil? Why do we do that? So the Gemara brings, since Gemara in Shabbat, in Daf Kafalef Amud Bet, the Gemara brings two opinions. One is the ilo adlik madlik, that if you didn't light the candles on exactly that minute, you have 30 minutes to do it, or l'shi'ura. What is l'shi'ura? So the Gemara says, "Ad shetichle regel min hashuk," until you have the people coming up, going back home. Now, what people are we talking about? Jews or non-Jews? The persum enisa outside, is that for Jews or non-Jews? You know, this is a machloket between Rashi and Rif. Rav Zevin, in his book, Torat Moadim Muzmanim, brings that this is a very interesting machloket, and when you see it, you really see it. The Talmud talks about ad shetich l'rigla de Talmudai, until those Talmudaim, this is a name of a nation, will stop walking. Now, who are they? So Rashi brings an idea that what? This is a people that sells probably wood for fire, and they are in the marketplace. Then when it's sundown, people go home, and they light fire. Now some of them realized, oopsie, I don't have enough wood, I need more wood. What do? They go back. Now these people know that some people will forget and will need more wood, so they stay there. How long? Not until it's really midnight, because it's too late, it's too dark. So they stay for half an hour, 45 minutes, where it's still a little bit light, and then they go home because they are afraid. So who are those people? Jews or non-Jews?
Non-Jews.
Okay. So we have a little bit of a concept of Pirsum Enisa to whom? To also to non-Jews. That, by the way, reminds us what? Chag Sukkot. We have a history expert here. But the idea of the relations and the correlation between Sukkot and Hanukkah is obvious. In the most basic way is the 8 days. We don't have biblical Chagim for 8 days. We have 7 days. Okay, even Sukkot to some extent it's 7 plus 1, and we say it's regel bifnei atzmo, but let's say it's 8. But that's why they did it. They did it as a Sukkot party. So the idea is that you have in Hanukkah also, you have all this combination of look what we do for the non-Jews. According to Bet Shammai, how many candles do you light on the first day? 8 and then 7. Why? Keneged Parei HaChag. What is Parei HaChag? The sacrifices that you bring during the Chag. What Chag? Sukkot, not Chanukah. So you see some of the same ideas of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. What you do for the world, how do you try to better the world, and how do you try to bring the light to yourself first, and obviously, outside, Chanukah Sameach. That's it. Yeah.